In a world where politics is all about the fighting.
I watch a George Will or a Charles Krauthammer. You know, I watch them for years. They're losers. They're just losers.
Piers, you also have to... Have you ever fired a weapon?
So that young man should have shot those people.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if someone had...
WCHL cuts through to the heart of the matter. It's time for I'll Grant You That. Reasoned, calm, thoughtful, with your host, Berkeley Grimble.
Good afternoon and welcome to I'll Grant You That. This is your host, Berkeley Grimble. I'll Grant You That is a show about politics. And today, we're going to talk about a local issue with certainly some significant political ramifications. My guest today is Mr. Alex Cabanis. Alex, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So, light rail. You won't have to tell us what you really do, but you are an expert in the local light rail issue.
Well, I'm a local citizen that has been doing research on the proposed light rail project from Durham to Orange and have done some research with other folks that are like-minded and similarly concerned about some of the proposal.
So we've been talking about this around here for at least 20 years, I think.
At least.
I'm thinking, in my memory, at least 20 years has been talk of some sort of light rail to... ameliorate the potential traffic jams and get people off of I-40, et cetera, et cetera. So it seems like light rail should be a great idea in principle.
In principle, it should be. And we've probably been talking about light rail or some form of it since the 80s. Think VHS tapes and the Soviet Union. But the current proposed Durham-Orange light rail does not actually... go along the majority of the I-40 corridor.
So give us a little background of where do we stand now and how did we get where we are in terms of the light rail? Is it going to happen? Is this a done deal?
Well, I don't know that anything is a done deal when you are looking at all of the various government subsidies. Mm-hmm. So the proposal's still not been... ranked by the federal government, and the state funding is still an open question.
So what's it going to cost?
Right now, the best estimates that GO Triangle and the various advocates have claimed is about $1.6 billion, according to what's been filed as part of the federal environmental impact study.
And we would assume that is a conservative estimate, as all things tend to be more expensive than... they start out? I mean, or wow.
These kinds of large capital projects have tended to be a little bit more expensive than initially projected. Of the $1.6 billion, a quarter of the funds, or 25%, are expected from the local taxes associated with the transit tax that was passed in 2011 and 2012 in Durham and Orange County, respectively. Another 25% is expected from the state, and 50% is expected from the federal government.
So on that local tax, how was that worded? What did we vote for actually?
That's a great question. So the actual language that was put forward as part of the ballot for the transit tax was as follows. The County Public Transportation Sales and Use Tax. 0.5% local sales and use taxes in addition to the current local sales and use taxes to be used only for public transportation systems, full stop.
So there's nothing about light rail in the language. There's nothing that says that it has to be used for light rail.
That's correct.
And it has been, how long has that tax been in effect?
Durham passed it in 2011 on an off-year election, and Orange County in 2012.
And it was a half cent?
That's correct.
Right. And how much money is sitting in the pot now?
Actually, I don't have those numbers. That would be a great question to ask GO Triangle and the MPO.
Yeah, because clearly, I mean, that would appreciate a reasonable amount. I mean, well, I don't know how quickly you'd get to one quarter of $1.6 billion, but I'm assuming would there be bonds issued to make this up, and it'd be paid back out of the sales tax, or how would it be paid for?
That's been a little bit unclear. So the half cent tax is basically intended to fill the $400 million of the 1.6. Part of that is being utilized right now as they go through planning. So best estimates is on the order of $50 million has already been spent on the planning. But again, I would defer to Go Triangle as to the actual accounting of those funds.
Right. So what are we looking at? Where is it going? From where to where? As it stands now, what is the line?
Great. So the line is rather circuitous. It starts at UNC Hospital and progresses along 15501, then makes a turn along 54, NC 54, towards the Friday Center, continues up through what's called the Woodmont Station, Lee Village, Gateway. So it will basically parallel one exit along I-40, where it will come up to Patterson Place, where the Home Depot and some of the other shops in that area. And then it'll continue up towards Duke University and Duke Medical Center. And then we'll come along 147 Main Street into downtown Durham, and we'll continue almost to Alston.
So where's the Durham terminus?
The Durham terminus would be in Alston Avenue.
Approximately.
Approximately where the Boys and Girls Club is in that vicinity.
So that's not even as far as Central, or is it? Or
that I don't know.
Okay. Okay, so what's the total miles of this?
Total mileage is 17 miles. Over 17 miles.
Right.
It will connect with Duke University and Duke Hospital as well as UNC Hospital. It does not connect with Durham Tech, does not connect with NC Central.
Right.
To your earlier question.
So how are they going to put a railroad line down 15501 in Chapel Hill in town? Where's the room for that?
They're going to find a 50-foot right-of-way to basically be able to squeeze it along downtown Durham, and then there'll be a new corridor that will parallel 15501. It will go through some undeveloped area around where Farrington and that whole area is.
Is it going to go up George King Road? Because that's actually near. George King runs into Ephesus.
Right. So they've looked at different alternatives, and the latest route would take it through King George.
Yeah, which is actually right across the street from where I live.
So you'll have a beautiful view of the train.
Right. Well, we're going to take a short break here and then get back with Alex Cabanis and talk more about the state of light rail in the Triangle. This is Berkeley Grimble, your host of I'll Grant You That. Welcome back to I'll Grant You That. This is your host, Berkeley Grimble, here in the studio with Alex Cabanis, a concerned citizen. We're talking about the state of light rail in the Triangle area. So we have a $1.6 potential billion project, of which the feds take half, the state takes half, and Durham and Orange County take... The state takes a quarter, Durham and Orange County take a quarter. So the other three quarters, the state quarter, for instance, does the state already set that money aside?
No. So as I understand it, the state was originally expected to fund 25% of the project. There was a law passed as part of the Strategic Transportation Initiative, the STI, that was formula-based, sets a maximum cap of 10% in law. Last year during the budget negotiations,
a cap of 10% on
the total project of the 1.6.
Okay. A maximum cap that the state could contribute.
Correct.
Okay.
So that would be roughly $160 million. There was a cap that was written into law as part of the budget last year, as everyone was leaving Raleigh, that set a maximum cap of $500,000. So that's currently what's on the books. Total project contribution, $500,000 from the state. There's currently two bills, one from the House and one from the Senate, that would remove that $500,000 cap. It hasn't been passed. It hasn't been reconciled between the two houses. And the Senate bill actually clarifies that the maximum would be 10%, and that it would have to be rescored in another 2 years as part of the STI process. So that's where it stands right now.
What does that mean, rescored in the STI process?
So basically the STI process, as I understand it, is a way where different projects get scored as to how impactful and how useful they would be. And so they basically get ranked, and the top priority ones would get funded versus the lower priority
ones. It doesn't seem that a Republican-controlled legislature would be particularly thrilled to be funding light rail projects in a Democratic part of the state just for political reasons. I mean, is that...
I can't talk to the political calculus there, but it doesn't seem intuitive to me either.
And generally, mass transit is not something which is part of at least Republican agenda, at least nationally, I think.
I think we need to be careful when we talk about mass transit because there are other alternatives. So I think that we really need to look at this discussion broader than just light rail.
Okay.
It's not really a binary discussion.
Right.
There are other alternatives, as Wake, for example, has demonstrated. They're actually looking at a combination that would include commuter rail, buses, as well as bus rapid transit, which would basically be a bus version of light rail. So think of it as light rail using rubber wheels instead of steel wheels.
So the state seems like they're at this point not coughing up what they need to cough up. Is the federal money there?
The federal money has not been allocated at this point.
Okay.
The final environmental impact study, that was basically a submission of the paperwork to the federal government where they have to go ahead and do a similar ranking. They're going to look at the feasibility and the financial support, which right now is still an open question. The other thing that's really interesting is when you look at comparative benchmarks of other light rail kinds of projects that have occurred across the nation, the cost associated with the Charlotte Blue Line extension, the BLE, is closer to $126 million per mile, which would basically put this project, if you use that as a comparative per mile construct, if you will, it would be a $2.1 billion project as opposed to the current $1.6 proposal.
So why wasn't Wake County included? I mean, why? In other words, it seems patently ridiculous to me that you have this light rail and you can't even go to the airport.
You cannot go to the airport through light rail. That is correct.
I mean, it's like when I think of any possible use, I, as a citizen around here who doesn't have to drive too far to get to work, fortunately, would use light rail, it would be to go to the airport.
That would actually make sense, because you could actually build a hub and spoke that would center around RDU.
Why didn't that happen?
That's a good question. That would be a question to ask Go Triangle and the MPO. But if you look at the traffic patterns and the commuter patterns, you get a lot of commuter traffic that's going basically into the park and beyond towards Raleigh. And so having a hub and spoke centered around the airport, like many European cities have, would make a lot of sense. So you could basically start creating these spokes, going from Chapel Hill into RDU or into Durham or into Raleigh, and basically using RDU as a hub.
So who are they projecting? Who's the market? Who is going to want to jump on this train?
Well, if you look at the projected 23,000 boardings, so you assume that people are going to take a round trip, so that would be half.
Per day?
Per day, in 2040, not today.
Oh, in 2040, okay.
In 2040. So that would be 11,500 people that would be basically taking a round trip.
Right.
Maybe a few less if they're going to take multiple rides and whatnot. And so when you start looking at the population density that we have here, we don't think that number is really going to be attainable. Just as an example, Charlotte has a 70% greater population, and they have been stagnant at 16,000 daily boardings, give or take, since it opened in 2007. So for the past almost 8 years, they've had around 16,000 daily boardings, even though that area has substantially greater population than we do.
Equals they're having to subsidize it to a greater extent than they planned? Is that what that comes down to?
Yes. So I think there's a couple of things with regard to subsidies that perhaps people aren't clear about. One is that myself, and I suspect many of the listeners, assume that when you pay your $2 or $3 for the fare, that you're basically paying your fair share. In fact, that is probably representative of about 20% of the actual cost or less. So the other expense or the rest of the operating cost is tax subsidies.
Right.
That's above and beyond the capital expenditure required for the actual building, the 1.6 or
so whatever. So it's going to require ongoing taxpayer input. Wouldn't we be better off just giving everybody an Uber dispensation to...
That's actually a great question.
There's some city in California, I just read, got rid of their transit system and went to Uber.
I hadn't heard that.
Small town, I can't remember which one, but they said, you know, it's just too expensive and Uber's just more efficient and works for the level they're working at, you know.
Well, so ironically, if Uber was subsidized to the same degree as public transit, the fares on Uber would be perhaps comparable
exactly.
to $4 or $5.
We have to take another short break here. This is Berkeley Grimble with I'll Grant You That. This is Berkeley Grimble, your host of I'll Grant You That. Here we have a few minutes left with Mr. Alex Cabanis. We're talking about light rail. So, Alex, it seems to me like there's not a lot of pros to this thing and a whole lot of cons, that it's going to be inefficient and expensive and continuing to be a tax burden. And so is that your takeaway from this entire project? I mean, and what should a concerned citizen do if you sort of don't really know much about it and you'd like to learn more?
Great question. So definitely an expensive alternative. And I think that there are much more affordable alternatives worth exploring. I think for folks that perhaps aren't up to date with the latest on light rail, because it's a rather nuanced discussion at times, we've put together a website called smarttransitfuture.org, where you can read on what the proposal is for the plan, find out what the Charlotte experience is, talk through some of the myths and perhaps some alternatives. With regard to what should concerned listeners do, get informed and be vocal, communicate with your elected officials, especially in the North Carolina legislature, as they're getting ready to finalize their budget proposal.
So just as a quick question, how long will it take to go from one end of this line to the other?
So originally it was supposed to be 34 minutes. With the latest engineering proposal, it will take 42 to 44 minutes to traverse the 17 miles.
And I think I can drive there and back in about that amount of time, if during non-rush hour times.
Well, actually, the current commute time, according to the census, for Orange and Durham County is currently at 22 minutes and is projected to grow in 2040 to a whopping 27 minutes. So the cars will still be faster.
So the light rail will get you there slower without a car, and it will be a huge tax burden. And
yes.
It will probably be highly disruptive to lots of neighborhoods along the way, I'm assuming.
It will be, and it will be a big safety concern for the at-grade crossings. These are 100-ton trains
right.
that will be crossing at grade in many places.
How many road crossings are there?
I think the total is north of 40.
40?
40.
All at grade? Meaning that potential for getting run over by a train are pretty high at grade, but you got 40. Oh, my goodness. Well,
yeah, yes. It's basically 150 train crossings that will occur each day
right.
based off of the proposed schedule. And if you look at the fatalities for different transit modes, light rail is second in the United States only to motorcycle deaths on a per-mile basis.
Well, the whole thing sounds like a really bad idea to me. So why don't you repeat your website, please, one more time for our listeners.
Sure. The website is smarttransitfuture.org.
Great. Well, Alex, thank you so much for coming on. It's been most informative.
Thank you.
You bet. This is Berkeley Grimble, and we have been listening to I'll Grant You That.